thank you that you clap your hand for me, and now we are going to clap for Jesus. Thank you. When we clap our hand for Jesus, we can stand up and we can shout for the Lord. This is what is written in the book of Psalm 47. Everybody have to clap the hand. I have to check if everybody has his hand here. Yeah. And if you have strength, you can stand where you are and to clap hand for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You can hear that this is for Jesus. This is not for the man. I thank the Lord because we are children of God, as you sang here. 2 weeks ago, I was in France, in Orléans, in one party. People was there, drinking, doing whatever, all kind of song in that party. But a certain time, we look at people from far, we say that no, they are not, they don't believe, they are not children of God. And it was giving me time to speak in that party. I just said that everyone in this place who know that he's a child of God is going to stand up and will worship the Lord. And I said that if you know that you are not a child of God, feel free. Just stay where you are. Don't stand up. I don't force you to stand up, but I want only children of God to stand up and to worship him. I saw somewhere, before for me to speak like that, there was two persons who was not like to stand up. When I said that everybody have to stand up, I saw two or three people who stay like that. I said, it's your choice. If God is not your father, just stay where you are. Don't stand up. When I just said like that, I see everybody in that party standing, start to clap their hand for the Lord. In this place is Jesus who is the King. In our church is Jesus who is the King. Everywhere we are, we have to worship the name of Jesus. Even today I'm going to talk about something God has put in my heart. As Steve says, he gave me to choose what can I speak in this meeting. My brother and sister, don't think that is very easy when we stand up and we want to talk about God. It's a very big challenge because we have to receive something from God. And God can speak to us when we open our ear. There are two subjects, but I choose one of them. The topic of today is, what are you doing here? This is just the question. God asks everyone here, what are you doing here? I know that you're telling me that, no, I come to church. Yeah, it's good. But what are you doing here? That place, I leave the... I put three dots there. Everyone can put his name. What are you doing here, Emmanuel? I think that everyone have received this kind of question in his family. When he was growing, sometimes you find your dad and your mom, they are speaking something very important, and when you just come like that, they ask you, what are you doing here? They want you to go away from them. Sometimes you can be in the room, you don't put lights on, and your dad come there, find you, Emmanuel, what are you doing here? This question will exit in our life, all our life. I don't know. Myself, I've heard it all the time. My dad was asking, what are you doing here? Sometimes you found one group of adults, but you are just small. You're just rather that. What are you doing here? And I just think this question, it's good for everyone today to know why. What are you doing here in this world first, in this earth? Myself, for sometimes when I'm driving in the road, which is sometimes here in UK, even in Finland when I was there are some places, darkness. You are driving and you start to ask, where I am? Who I am? Why am I here? I can ask myself this kind of question. God created us with purpose. There's a goal you have to achieve in your life when you are in this earth. And if you don't ask yourself this question, your time will just pass, will pass, and after that, what will happen? You'll die. That's it. But if you ask yourself, what am I doing in this earth? You'll start now to take some decision to do some good things for your life. And this question was asked to Elijah. She was somewhere. I think that our sister Tash will put for us one. This will come later. We are now in 1 Kings. We read 18 and from 6 to 8 verse. 18, if it's ready. You can start even from, we can just start from 1 Kings 18. You can start from even 8 verse to 13. We start from 8. We can even start from first verse. We can start from here. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself. It will be a very long text if you start from here. We can take 19. I'm sorry. We can take 19. 19. Chapter 19. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have heard enough, Lord, he said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestor. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread, baked over hot coal, and a jar of water. he ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Here he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" We can just stop there. I can ask now all assembly, all the church, we can stand up, we'll read just one verse. We can stand up. 1, 2, 3. Then he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here?" Thank you, you can sit down. This is the question. This is our topic. What are you doing here, Elijah? Or Elijah, like you used to say. And we see that he was inside the cave. Elijah was a powerful prophet of God. And you know what happened in chapter 18. That's why I said that the text would be very long if I start from there. It was the time people didn't like to give themselves to God. And Elijah decided, said that we have to know now who is the truly God, who is the powerful God. And the challenge people was worshipping another God like God of Baal, like the Bible said to us. And said that now we have to show, everyone have now to call fire from the heaven and we have to give our sacrifices to God. The life of spiritual life is the life of sacrifice. If you don't accept yourself to do sacrifice sometimes, it will be very difficult for you to serve Him. That's why Jesus says somewhere that if you want to follow me, you have to carry your cross. Everyone has to carry his cross. This is the first thing we have to know. The life, spiritual life, is the life of sacrifice. And Elijah says, We are now going to call the fire from the heaven. And we'll see who will answer by fire. If your God is God, the fire has to come from heaven and to burn your sacrifice. Me, I will call my God and see who is the very powerful God between us. This is what Elijah says. But a certain time, when he said that you can start because you are so many. Me, I'm just alone. I'm a prophet. I'm alone. But you are serving. You are so many there. Like we used to say that they give time to majority. And himself, he said that not because he's alone, he cannot do anything. He have to wait until they will finish. But the Bible says that they tried to call their God. Their God didn't answer. From morning to the evening. But at the time of the offering, if you read in the book of 18, they said, at the time of offering, in the evening, Elijah decided now to put organization on the altar, the hotel. I don't know if you call it hotel or altar. Is it hotel? Hotel. Hotel. Yeah, because in the same in French. So, he put sacrifice there, and he put the stones around this hotel, and this is the miracle. He put water up for this sacrifice. And the Bible says that when he just started to pray, he said that people have to know that there is God in Israel. Your God is working. My God is working. And he said that people have to know. He said that he called God. He said that he started to pray by showing that you are God of Abraham, of Isaac. You are a powerful God. I call you now, you have to show that God you are working. My brother and sister, you know when we heard this testimony here that her husband made it was an accident, but nobody was hurt in this accident. Sometimes you see that it's very simple things, but you have to know that God is working until now. This is what we have to put in our mind. Elisha was powerful and the fire came down. He was praying. The first thing, Elisha was the man of power and miracle. It was possible through him to see fire come from the heaven because he was someone who was sanctified by God. If you have the life of sanctification, when we are sanctified, is the time we decide ourselves to be apart for the Lord. In our life, we refuse to do some things we were doing before. We decided to follow the way of God. This is sanctification. When we are sanctified, this is the time we refuse to do all sins we know, and I decide, I said, I don't know myself, I have to be apart for the Lord. And Elisha was like that. You know the life of Daniel, maybe when I go, it's coming in my mind, I will come back to Elisha. Daniel, when he went to the kingdom, when they took them to Babylon, I don't know, they went to Babylon as there was like a slave, but there was no slave. There was not, they have got freedom to eat even the house of the king. But Daniel decided, he said that me, I would never eat with what they give on the table of the king. I want to be somewhere to pray, to eat vegetable, because I'm praying Almighty God. And we'll see after 10 days, between people who are eating on the table of the king and the people who are sanctified, people who are fasting, people are seeking the face of the Lord. And Daniel was like that. And God filled him with the power, with spirit. If you want to be a powerful man in your life, in a spiritual life, you have to decide yourself to follow the way of God, to be apart, sanctified, to leave everything. That's for God's purpose. But we see that Elijah's second thing was a man of faith. The man of faith. When there was not rain, Elijah decided, said that no. He told his servant, is that go see over there if there is a cloud of rain. And his servant went there. He saw that there was nothing. He came to tell Elijah, he said that nothing there. Nothing. But Elijah believed that the rain is going to fall that day. He said that, go again. He told him to go there 7 times. If you and I, you ask someone, go and see if it's raining. You know that at that time, 3 years and 6 months, there was not rain. But now, you have to show that you are the man of faith. This is Elijah. He said that, go again. The man came. No, I didn't see thing there. No cloud. He came back. Go again. He came back. 7 times. The man of faith. If you want to be used by God, you need faith. Without faith, the Bible said that without faith, we cannot please to God. Without faith, we cannot please to God. They don't say that without money, you cannot please to God. They don't say like that. They don't say that without love, we cannot please to God. Love is very important. But I don't say that love is bad. But it's that without faith. If you believe, if you approach to God, you have to believe that God exists. If you are praying, put in your mind that God exists. And God is able. And this is Elijah. He believes that God is able. He can do something. And one time, he came, the servant came to tell him, I see something there, like the hand of man. Let us read in book of 1 King. We are just 1 King, 18, verse 44 and 45. We can read 44 and 45. The seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. This is the sign. There was a small sign there, like the hand. You can just look. The cloud, like the hand of man. Cloud. We don't need the big cloud to see rain falling. We need only small hand. He said that. So Elisha said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stop you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with cloud. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. This is what happened this time. I think that will come back here, but they show us that Elisha was a man of faith. He saw only the hand. Small thing like hand. Can you imagine? Small thing like the hand of man in the heaven there. And he said that, no, the rain is coming. It's possible. That small word coming from God, that word can make a miracle in our life. If we believe. Sometimes we need someone to talk so many things. Today, maybe I will not talk so many, but I just explain something which is very important for you to know why. What are you doing here? This is the question. But this man of faith, this man of miracle, who is able, perseverance, because he will see perseverance. He told him seven times that God had perseverance in our life as the children of God. Never stop, never give up. This is Elijah. He never gave up. He continued to work for God. But one day he heard something coming from Jezebel. Said that, go and tell now, Elijah. Go and tell him that God challenged me. If I'm not doing the life of Elijah, what he did to my prophet. And because of this word, Elijah started to run. In our life, I was looking to say that we have so many problems. In this position you are now, when they ask you, what are you doing here? It's just the position of the place you are now. Maybe you feel that you are discouraged in your life. Maybe you say in your heart, you say that now is enough. Maybe sometimes you ask yourself the question, why? People say that God is working, but I've never seen the hand of God in my life. But I was looking to tell you that God is with you. God is with you. This is what I want to tell you, that God is with you. Elijah started to run. When he heard something, they said that, my God, this is this woman, Jezebel, who sent message to him. And Elijah started to run. We are facing different kind of situation. This is that for Elijah, but all about you. What are you facing today in your life? Maybe because of work. Maybe because of marriage. Maybe because of your health. Maybe because of something, you know that sometimes is pushing you down. And now God wants you to be aware that He knows you and He is able to do something in your life. What are you doing here? What happened to Elijah when in this kind of situation? This is a spiritual attack. I can say like that. But I'd like to read with you in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. You can read verse 18. Jeremiah 15. Why is my pen unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fell. This is the question now Jeremiah was asking there. He said that, why is my pen unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You feel in your heart like a wound when you have started to think about your life. You say that, why my pen? Why this pen is unending? I would like to tell you that there are so many people who pass at this time, and God came to them. Always, God is coming. Sometimes when you see how your children they are, how the kind of life you have now, you say that, no, this is not my life, but you are in. You don't know what to do. Maybe you have. You are suffering. You say that, oh, I'm crying all the time. Every night I'm crying. Every night I'm praying. But why? But God asks you, what are you doing here? In this place, this position you are, thinking too much. What are you doing there? Why are you sitting now in the cave? You know, when someone is inside the cave, it's very difficult for him to see very far. If you are in the cave, you are disconnected to the reality of the world. Someone is in the cave, they cannot see how other people are suffering. Someone who is in the cave, he cannot help anyone because he's inside the cave. This is the position so many people have taken in their life. You are in the cave because you cannot do something for God. Even for your God, you cannot do anything because you feel that it's very hard for you. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring to fell. That fell. So, there's one place there, you think that there is water, you run away, you arrive there, you find there is not water. This is Jeremiah is talking there. And verse 19. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter or say not of less word, you will be my spokesman. Let these people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. And verse 20. I will make you a wall to these people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you. They will fight against you. Spiritual fight you are facing in your life. When the enemy wants to attack us, this is Tasha can put now what I told you. When he attacks us, when the enemy attacks us, the first thing, we start by thinking about ourselves. Selfishness. You feel someone said that, no, this time I prefer to be alone. I don't like to be in connection with anybody, even members of the church. I don't like to hear about Mount Chapel. You prefer to stay alone. They call you on the phone. You don't pick up the phone. This is how the enemy start to attack people. I don't know if you are in this kind of situation. You have to pray that God has to put you together where there is other people. This is what happened to Elijah. He said that he went and he started to run to save his life. He ran for his life. He didn't like to stay where those people who was killing prophet of Baal with him, but he ran away to save his life, for his life. And second thing, we desire to be alone, loneless. When you arrive somewhere, the Bible says that he left his servant. That servant was going to the mountain all the time. Elijah left him somewhere. He preferred to be in the wilderness alone. This is what so many people prefer to be in somewhere alone. The telephone closed. So we cannot hear about church. What are you doing? God wants us to be. There is big fire when we put wood together. But if you take one wood, you put it somewhere where there's not other wood, that wood will, the fire will be extinct. Will extinguish. Yeah. The word was coming. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Extinguish. But if you put it where there is other wood, there will be fire. And this is what the Bible says in book of Hebrews 25, chapter 10, verse 25. It said that don't leave the assembly where you used to be. Hebrews 10, 25. We have to be together as the children of God. You cannot choose to be alone. Otherwise, you cannot do anything for the Lord. It's when we are together that God can help us. Not giving up meeting together. This is the Bible says. As some are in the habit of doing. Some people are doing it. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Which day? The day of coming of our Lord. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. When we are coming to church, it's just to encourage each other. We have to be each other. We have to walk. Everyone has his own gift. But don't be alone. Don't leave your servant somewhere to prefer to be alone. No. We need to be together. This is what is written there. Not give up meeting together. As some are in the habit of doing. Oh no, you know, even at home I can pray myself. Who told you that you can? You can pray yourself at home. But for the meeting of the children of God, the church, we have to be together. If sometimes in your heart you decided that, oh no, because of what my work, I prefer to be alone, it's not a good decision. We return to five points we gave there. Sorry. And the third one, we can experience the witness. Everyone. The time can be very hard for everyone. Even for someone who is praying for you, pastor is praying for you, but sometimes pastor can go through some difficulties. Some problem can arrive in the life of pastor. Wilderness is a very hard place. In wilderness, you cannot sow and reap. In wilderness, everything is very hard. We can experience it. This is when the enemy attacking. It's not because you are a good person, you love people, that you cannot experience wilderness. Wilderness can come in the life of everyone. Sometimes finances. Sometimes I was leading meeting last time. People who are in Fountain of Life, they know. I don't know, maybe I ate something, or the person I was working there, I was in one continent where there's gas. But in the morning when I was leaving the work, I start to feel that I have to vomit all the time. And I was leading a meeting at 7 o'clock. I just encouraged myself. I said, no, there's no one who can lead this meeting now. I have to take courage now and to do everything like someone who is not sick. I start meeting very well. After 10 minutes, I feel that I have to go to vomit. But people was online. 17, 18 people who was connected at that time. I start now to, I tell people that, can you pray for me? Because I'm not feeling well. And people start to pray for me. And after that, I feel that I cannot continue like that. I stop. I ask our brother Guy there, guy in English, I said that, can you continue to pray with people? Because myself, I feel that I'm very sick. I cannot do anything. I used to pray for people. But in that day, it was me who was sick. It's possible that can be in the wilderness. We don't understand the life, the meaning of life. We don't understand that the life is the gift from God. And Elijah said that, no, I prefer to die than to be alive. This is Elijah. He said that, no, why should I? Sometimes you feel like that. Why am I alive? I've heard some people say that, Pastor, what you said, I was about to kill myself. Because I said that, why am I suffering in this world? I was looking to kill myself. We pray for the person and they change his mind. Maybe sometimes you feel like that yourself. This is the attack of enemy. He can attack you in that way. To tell you that you are nothing. You don't understand the meaning of life. The fifth one is the broom tree become our shelter. This is what happened to Elijah. He was take the broom tree. Like Jonas, the broom tree become his shelter as well. When God sent now one insect and killed that broom tree, he started to complain. Sometimes we take what we see like money, like work, like our body become a shelter for us. Five things we have to know. When the enemy attack us, he can put you in the wilderness. He can find a way to put you alone somewhere. Even when you go to learn how the lion attack the animal, he try to find one who leave the crowd of animal. When you just take your own direction and the lion start to follow you. This is the enemy used to do for children of God. But what we have to learn now in this message today, when you say that, what are you doing here? God wants you to do something, to come out now of the cave and to stay on the mountain. God is everywhere, we know it, but God cannot stay with you inside the cave. God needs you on the mountain. To hear the voice of God, the first thing, where you are, when God asks you, what are you doing? Do you hear his voice? When he asks you like that, what are you doing here? In Mount Chapel, you have the place that you can serve God in this place. I've asked so many times people, what can you do for God? And people return to me this question, what do you want me to do for God? I mean, I cannot answer in your place. But yourself, God wants you to do something. They call Elijah out of the cave. And God called us out of our position. Where you are now. Where you are sitting now. You are discouraged by something. But God wants to restore you. As he says to Jeremiah. He wants to restore you. He's able. His Holy Spirit is working until now. God cannot accept you to come in this world and to go back without doing something for him. I'd like you to say that you are very important in God's eyes. There is something inside you can do for God. In the book of Luke 13, we are going to finish, but just give some small things. Luke 13, and you can read verse 6. You can read, start from 6. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard.